Hello, hello. How's everybody doing out there? Talking Shit Tuesday coming at you every week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Tuesday, as long as I can, withstand it. It's been a tough week already. It's been 2 days and it's been so freaking busy at Lund Racing. It's not even funny. It is testing everybody's patience, but we're doing our best to get orders out. LRXs are flying off the shelves. I think we're up to almost 800 sold in a quarter. Sheesh, it's crazy stuff. Today, what we're going to talk about is... I wrote it down. I'm so fucked up. Holy shit. Don't ignore the trends. In tuning, there are trends. And a lot of people, I'm not going to name names, but I think a lot of people get lost in the weeds when they come across an issue. And I'll explain to you that ignoring a trend is actually counterproductive. If you are pretty solid and well-experienced in a certain subject matter, and you see a trend happening, don't start from scratch. Stick with what you know. And some of the biggest issues I've had with tuning is telling a customer no. I don't have an issue telling them no. I have an issue telling them why I'm telling them no, meaning I am not going to tune around your issue. I am not going to slam the MAV curve. I am not going to change injector data. I am not going to change it. I am not going to reload the tune. I am not going to re-export the tune. I'm not going to do anything until you fix your shit. We'll talk about an example of a trend I noticed that is, pretty common. And I said, I'm going to stick to my guns here. I don't want to go the other way. And I ended up being right about the situation without even seeing pictures of the car. So we can talk about that. We can talk about the Model Tesla 3. They came out with a new revised version of the Model Tesla 3, but I'm not really jazzed about that at all. We can also talk about 10R80 stuff. A lot of people, when you ask me for advice, are you looking to validate your thoughts? Or are you actually genuinely looking for my advice? I'll give you an example of something that happened today where someone did not like the answer I gave them that was based on a whole bunch of experience. And they were like, bro, I don't like this motherfucker. Send me to somebody else. And I was like, that's not how it works. The whole company thinks this. Wait, we'll talk about that and many more things, but not before Mr. Bill O'Reilly says hello to the people here.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
It always sucks. P-Mass. Nick James and P-Mass ready to name the company D-Mass. Check them out. Gonna have a new logo coming out soon. Check them out for all colder intake needs. You need to have Performance now, Performance.com. Get the cups. Get the shirts. Get everything. Everything. Injectors, fuel system, wheels, tires. You name it. Get it from there. PartsFarm. PartsFarm.com. Get everything used from there. Wheels, tires, interiors, fenders, motors, pullouts, transmissions, you name it. That is the go-to place. I have received 5 boxes from the Parts Farm. Badass shit. 2 Auto Solutions. Rami's on 2 Auto Solutions. He's back to work. He's back to normal. He had a little bit of a funk, but he's out of the funk, ready to make some money. Nice to see him back. Kicking ass over in Puerto Rico. The best late model shop in Puerto Rico. CalibreTransmission.com. He's going to be on the next NMRA event, but I want my Corvette back. Let's go. Get it going. Caliber Transmission. Balak, the best drug dealer wheels on every Audi R8 on the planet. Balak is Caleb backwards. And MFP of Australia. MFP finally getting around to making some more crank supports. Anodizing, showing off the blue anodizing on the crank supports. I can't wait to get mine so I can put it on the GT500 after I ship the motor over to L&M and we can go ahead and get that sucker going. Fairmont is paid for. Fairmont's coming down first of the month, so we'll get video on that. I received my 18 manifold from Jason Teixeira, 1320, and I received LU47 injectors, so you will be seeing ported manifold, LU47 pump gas data, and then E85 data. Let's see if we can get this hunk of shit in the low 12s or potentially high 11s in the quarter mile with catalytic converters, the whole 9 yards. Leon Phillips, Coyote Fury. I'm Hung Solo, D-Rock Fox, 1-of-1 RTR, Monty 540, Leadfoot, 2000 MCR, Coyote Fury, Valley Test, B-Douche, Data, JD Swag. Travis, Michael Loreno, Paul Ponthieu, Dixon, Victor Sardone, B. Levesh, Andy Ali, Stuart D, Maki Mock. What's up, guys? Thank you so much. TJ Sikorsky, Mendoza's Coyote, Rudy Bucala. It's Tuesday, time to talk some shit. Anthony Gallo Bravo, 956, cuz puro pinche, 956, a la verga, cuz
puro pinche, 956, a la verga,
Cup.
We got JD, Wesley Stewart, Brian 03 Cobra, ACF Regret, Boxy Luxury, Angel, Angel H, Jared Wells. Let's get your fuel system checked out. I'm tooling your car, so you know you're dealing with me. One of one RTR, Coca-Cola, Speed Freak, Mark Christensen, Speed Freak again. 4-5-2-1, Dave Seagal. Seagal Performance. Like Steven Seagal? That guy was the biggest joke on the planet. Peter Coyote, Savar Martner, Fred, Craig Bilt says, what's crack lacking? Says, what's up, Alex? Love the straight shit. You gave me money. Okay. Rob Quinn, Nat Jew, Cole Daniel, Peter Chiquito, Bryson Witt, AMR, Jermaine, TN, S197, Elva Galarga, and all the usual suspects here. Let's talk about a situation that happened today that allowed me, okay, in the Coyote game, I have owned a Coyote car since 2011 when they came out. So I have technically 12 years experience with Coyote stuff. In terms of tuning, I have been tuning Coyotes for over 8 years. And all I do is Coyote, mostly, maybe some EcoBoost sprinkled here and there. And I dabble in my personal LS stuff. Nothing crazy. But Coyote is the language I speak the most, okay? I know it intimately. You know what I am saying? So I had a situation today where I was tuning a twin turbo GT350. The mechanic got a car dropped off to him, and this happens so many times. Mechanic gets a car. The car was built by somebody else. They go ahead and say, get it tuned by Lund. The mechanic goes, okay, and oh my God, he has to fix and unfuck so many things. Injector, leak, this, that, cold air, O2s. I mean, he's going to be into this fucking job for $1,000+ just data logging this car, changing O2s, labor. So after we figured out that the fuel rail pressure sensor was an issue, after we figured out, because GT350s have a fuel rail pressure sensor, okay, just like Gen 3 Mustangs. So, it's a hellion sleeper. I'm like, this is cake shit. Can do the shit. In the, you know, our base file is so vetted that I know that if issues pop up, it's not a tune issue. So sure enough, issues popped up. Startup issues, drivability issues, all these issues. I don't see that many issues on GT350s. And this is why I say this, especially with the knock sensors. The car was knocking pretty hardcore. And I thought, wait a minute. GT350s has having crazy great flowing cylinder heads, a great flowing manifold. So at 8 PSI, pump gas, this car should not be complaining at all. So after I see these logs and I'm like, okay, is this gentleman going to stay on E85 a lot, or is he going to stay on pump gas mostly? He's like, he's mostly going to be on E85 pump gas just to get him home from emergencies. Okay, so forget the knock sensors because they're active. So I'm chalking it up to bad octane, right? I'm thinking it's bad octane. He gets E85 in it. We get it to trim within 2 or 3%, and the knock sensors are still active. And I go, no. I am not going to ignore this. I am not going to hammer around this. I'm going to ask such a weird question that maybe the customer or the mechanic that's dealing with the customer can give me a straight answer. GT350s to me used to be high-end Mustangs. They are high-end Mustangs. The high-end clientele typically gets a Mach 1, 350, Bullet. Those guys typically want to be seen as having not just a GT, but something better than, you know, the premium Mustang of that generation. And I totally understand it, and I would never poo-poo it. If you want to do that, go ahead. But some people have some shitty ratty cars that are premium cars, but they were able to afford them, and they just trash them out. So I asked the mechanic, tell me something. Is this a ratty GT350? Because there are GT350 owners that are meticulous with their shit. And those cars never have these issues. They never have crazy knock sensor issues. They're typically on the money. So I said, is this car a rat? He goes, actually, yes, it's a rat. It's been through 3 motors, and we're just waiting on a built motor to come in, but this is a rat. And I go, okay, perfect. I did not want to ignore the trends. When you see cars, especially Coyote cars, that are nearing 12 to 13 years old. Remember, a 2011 Mustang, when it came out in the summer of 2010. So technically, the car is 14 years old. So a lot of customers say, well, it's only got 6,000 miles. Right. It's 14 years old. I don't give a fuck how many miles it has. It has age on it now. Like me and the ZR1, people would say, well, that pump should be able to cover this much boost. At this. I'm like, it's a 2009. It's very old. It's 14, 15 years old. So that ZR1 Corvette, whatever it could have handled in the first 5 years out, 9 years later, it probably did not or it cannot handle the type of fueling needs that it would normally have covered early in its life. So don't ignore the trend. And Coyote cars are becoming cheap, meaning now you see people running Coyotes and you see people selling. Go to any forum, X275 for sale parts, Facebook Marketplace, da-da-da-da-da. People are taking their big block Chevys, a.k.a. BBC, a.k.a. Big Black Cock, out and opting for a Coyote. Or people are coming late to the game and going, oh my God, look at this Coyote. Seems to be doing good. Let me buy one. Sees one on Marketplace for $12,000. They hear Lund is the best tuner, and they take their $12,000 build to Lund Racing. And we go, bro, this is a rat. Bro, esta mierda no sirve. This thing's a rat. So you take your rat-ass build, take it to the premium best tuner that there is for that platform. The tuner then tells you, Papa, this thing's fucked. This thing ain't jiving. You got to check this bitch out mechanically. Pull the plugs. Do a compression check. It's only got 60,000 miles. Yes. And 4,000 of them were on a sideshow. You understand? So it doesn't matter the mileage. It matters the abuse and the life it's led. So you can't ignore the trends. These cars are getting up there in age. People are beating them up. They're not a new car anymore. Typically, the way I treat 11 to 14 Mustangs is, like, I used to treat two valves when I worked at another company. Oh, it's probably been fucked, prodded, taken two fingers, two in the fucking pink, one in the stink. Hell, two in the pink, two in the stink. Bowling ball action like this. Crazy. Like, three in the stink and two in the pink, or three in the pink and two in the stink. Do you know what I'm saying? Crazy ragged out shit. So all of a sudden, people are like, oh, I don't get it. This car, I thought these cars make 500 ruble horsepower, two mods. Not when they've been beaten within an inch of their life. So do not ignore trends. We can talk about that. Let me take a sip of the coffee because I took allergy medicine and I'm about to pass out. Oh, you like that going down my throat, Daddy? Now, if you are a member of the Patreon channel or a customer of Lund Racing, listen to what I'm about to say very closely. Because if you're providing or if you're paying for a service, whether through Lund Racing or through me on Patreon to get advice, if you're paying for the service and then fight back on the advice you're getting, I don't know why you're paying for the service. I'd love to take your money. I'd love to just take your money and agree with you until the cows come home. But I want to be real with you and not bullshit your, you know, anything. So I had a customer on Lund Racing says, hey, I got an NA 10R80. Tell me what you would do with that 10R80. Now the YOLO douchebag in me wants to say, you drive that bitch to a fucking dealership and trade it in for a 6R80 car. And you build that if you want to go fast. But he don't want to hear that shit. So this is what I said. I said, well, naturally aspirated, it needs nothing. Naturally aspirated, that transmission does not need anything. You can just have a little bit of a tuning situation and all the way up to Cobra Jet, 500 wheel, potentially, and you won't need to do anything to that trans. 800 to 850, maybe 900 real horsepower, clutches. You need clutches. It's not going to shift without clutches, and if it does shift, it's going to be real slippy-dippy bullshit, and you're going to ask your tuner to work around the slippy-dippy bullshit forever. And then when you're potentially reaching to make 1,000 or 1,100, you get a turbo 400. Why do I say that? If you want to go ahead and buy a $6,000 built Billy Badass transmission, race it, and then after that event or two events, you got to rebuild it again for another $6,000, and then you take it to two or three more events and you smoke it again and you got to rebuild it for $6,000, that is $18,000 you've spent that summer, sir, on 10R80s. Or, pendejo, you can absolutely take a Turbo 400, maybe $8,000 to $15,000 build, converter, trans brake, drive shaft, cross member, shifter, and live years at $1,000 or $1,100 running a number. This is the issue that's happening right now. A lot of people want to do this no prep gay shit. So if you hit me up on Instagram, Patreon, or the ticket system, they go, Alex, what's the best suspension, tire, and setup for no prep racing? I'm going to say, I don't care. I'm not going to give you any advice. It's an overdrive transmission that you are taking to a place that has no grip. You're going to put a ladder, a firefighter fucking ladder on the back of the bitch and hang two plates off the back. You're going to put pogo sticks for shocks in the front. You're going to stuff the fucking tire in the fender so much you have to bulge out the quarter so that give that tire room so that you could win a cracked piston trophy at Yee Yee No Prep, which was right next to Muddy Butts 14, because there was 14 of them. You know, the truck event. Well, right next to Muddy Butt 14, you know, Muddy Butt 3 was the best. 14 is just not that good. Muddy Butt 8 was legendary. You know, Herpes 5 was, well, that's a drifting event. So, I'm going to say, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Do your shit. I don't care. Well, my car is, I'm going to a track where they scraped all the prep off. I'm running a hard tire. Tuner, make it work. Boy, shut the fuck up. Make it work. Hey, Alex, I'm running the BF Goodrich Radio Nationals. Yeah, they make you run a 235 50-15, and my car makes 1,800 on a 10R80. Can I get a fifth gear leave tune? I hung a firefighter ladder off the back of the bitch and hung 245s, got pogo sticks and stuffed the fucking tire into the fender well. Why don't you want to tune my car? You're doing stupid stuff. It is not up to me to make your car work in stupid racing. If you want your car to have good fueling, good spark, and good shifting at about optimal RPM, whether it be 7,500 or 7,800 or whatever, that's my job. But if you want me to allow you to run in the Ice Skate Nationals, are the swap the front to back nationals where you put the skinnies in the back and the slicks in the front. And who's the most gangster motherfucker? Bro, you know who won skinnies in the back too? That boy is gangster. Skinnies in the back too. Well, three people died, but it's all good. For an inaugural event, it's actually pretty good. So I think it's a whole bunch of horse shit. If you want your tuner to make your stupid racing decisions, I get it if you want to run a radial or a slick on a prepped surface, or if you want to do a roll race. I understand that. But if you're purposely doing stupid racing and you run the back-to-front nationals where they make you put the slicks in the front and the skinnies in the back and run it out the back in reverse, it is not up to me to make that work. So we can talk about all that, not ignoring trends, taking your tuner's advice who has a bunch of a knowledge in his bag, take his advice properly. When he tells you he's outlining a build a certain way, don't fight him for it. You know how many people have told me, Alex, should I get these cams? I go, no, they don't do shit. What do you mean? I saw on Facebook. That's where I know it's bullshit information. I saw on Facebook this tuner out west made 100 more horse with these cams. Really? So does that make fucking sense, asshole? Let's do some critical thinking. Let's sit the fuck down like grown-ass men and do some critical thinking. Do you think at 20 pounds of boost, a car that makes 1,000 wheel with just cams and cam phasing can make another 100 horse with the same exact tune? Just cam phasing? Boy, if you think that, I got so many bridges to sell to you. We'll talk about that and everything else you guys want to talk about. By the way, before I get into it too much, I want to mention that a Fat House build, a Fat House 1000R package is for sale right now on Bring a Trailer. So bringatrailer.com right here. Twin turbocharged 16 Mustang Shelby GT350. One of the Fat House guys reached out to me and said, hey, bro, This car is for sale at Bring a Trailer. I think you could pick it up for $70,000. To build it, it was probably going to cost you $130,000. So for half price, guys, you can get a legitimate 1000R. It is stock motor, but it's twin turbo, okay? And that Motec, the whole nine yards. This 2016 350 was listed in the estate of its original owner and purchased by the seller shortly thereafter. The car's 5.2 Voodoo was subsequently modified by Fathouse Performance. 350 R package added two zonal rotor turbochargers, air-to-air intercooler, Motec M150, flex fuel calibration, along with ID1300s, tile wastegates, RPS carbon clutch, QAF1 fiber. I mean, all the shit. Guys, everything. I like the shorty wing, too. It's kind of crazy. The shorty wing looks kind of good. And it is... it's got BMR stuff, so we gotta, you know, sorry about that, but he got some BMR parts, so I apologize for that, but it's a 1000R package. It's probably gonna end up being 70K by the time it's all said and done. Check it out. I'm gonna copy paste the link on the chat, and we'll go from there, and I think it's pretty, a good deal. He mentioned it, and I thought, you know what, might as well give him a shout to see if anybody has $70,000 burning a hole in their pocket. But the Fathouse 350s are the pinnacle of Shelby performance. I don't know of any other shop that has been able to parlay their specialty, coming from an Evo background, into the best aftermarket Shelby specific Mustang shop. They work with FFRE. They shove Tremec T56s in them, and they shove Motec in them. It's got flex tuning, traction control, you name it. That thing is a built motor, built bottom end, away from being a 1200 or plus package or something like that. Crazy, crazy shit. So we'll talk to people here. So who is Jacob? What did he say? He kept saying the same thing over and over. Yeah, they put him away for a little bit. So someone gave me $20. I want to get that. Ryu Hayabusa. Thank you so much. I appreciate you for the money. Has that engine plate always been there? No, sir. That is a Billet Pro Shops engine plate. I like putting things in the background so you guys can pick it out. That is a Billet Pro Shops engine plate. The Fairmont is going to get plated. I am not going to put that engine on motor mounts. It is going to get plated. So I have this mid plate, and I have the front plates and the hardware and the tabs that I have to weld onto the front. I will not be doing the welding, obviously, but I will get the engine and transmission mounted, get all that situated, mocked up, then blown apart, then painted, or painted first and then do it later. I don't care if I have to do a little bit of corrective work over paint, but I would more than likely blow it all apart, then get it all in paint, and then bring it back and put it all in. And then I have to start wiring and doing all this little bunch of dumb shit all day. Frank James says, has anyone been in contact in the last week for MFP? I purchased a crank support from him, and I have a couple of issues with it, but I'm getting no response from him over the last week. Frank, he was sick not too long ago, but MFP of Australia, if you're listening, Frank James needs some help, so hit him up. Oh, Rami Zanan's here, and Degree in RCSP, and Cars and Drums are here in the chat. So let me see what the... La, da, da, da. David says, Steve Alex, I just got my tune today and I barely flash it right now. And I got a low oil pressure light. Never had until I flashed it. David, that's not a problem. It's more than likely the oil pressure configuration. A tune cannot shut off an oil pump. A tune can't shut off the oil pressure sensor if it is performance pack, non-performance pack, Gen 2. Your car has oil pressure. It's just the gauge is not working. Go to the ticket, hit up the tuner and say, tuner, I have an oil pressure light, just making sure that you run the VIN and make sure that the configuration is performance pack or non-performance pack, and they'll take care of you. Because a lot of people do this. We're talking about older cars. They buy a used Mustang, and they believe it's a performance pack car. Like, one of the worst things to do is to get a car that has been, again, 5 in the pink and 18 in the stink. And then you don't even know if it's performance pack or not. So then I run the VIN, and I go, it's factory non-performance pack. He goes, but how the hell did they make the gauge work? I said, maybe they just turned something off when they had maybe HP tuners access or whatever, but the car from the factory came without gauges. Then they get mad. Then they have to reconfigure it. Then we have to figure it out. That's something that happens very, very often. I don't know what my shit posted hella times. I only typed it once. No problem, Jacob Workman. Your question was, what do I think about a Hellion sleeper kit on a Gen 2? So any aftermarket, okay. Only Jake's kit that I saw on an F-150 truck with stock manifolds Maybe others have done it, but Jake has a Gen 3. Made 1,000 wheel at 20 PSI. No valve float, no nothing, but the turbo was located by the license plate. So, of course, you know, less likely to have back pressure issues because of the way the fuck back there. But if you do have a Hellion sleeper kit and they offer upgraded exhaust manifolds, I would get those. Reeking 50 says, I just moved to Fort Worth, Texas from Sanford. Sanford! Fucking Sanford. I will always love Florida, but I love and need money and making at least $3,000 a week now. Way more than I was making in Florida doing Boeing 777. Boeing? Boy, I hope Boeing's going to be around for a little while because, sheesh, if you heard about Boeing, sacawet body. Nestor Berrio says, would a crank support be a good idea for a 350 with an ESS kit? It's not necessary. You know what I'm saying? So, Nestor, you got to think about the supercharger, especially an ESS kit, which I love how people say they're the bottom of the barrel kit. Guys, I tune like 14 a day. Different ones. ESS has become the absolute number one. And, you know, you hear these fat tub of lards out there saying, Alex has bought and paid for. Uh-uh. I don't have anything on my shit. I say I'll tune anything. Paxton, Vortec, ESS, Procharger. Today I tuned a Procharger Gen 1 that was rolling the fuck out. Procharger with a stage 1 intercooler, fucking square intercooler. Got it dialed in. He shifted. It knocked down the shift. I said, put octane booster in it. Knocked down the shift. Okay, the bracketry is prone to resonance. So your options, sir, are to desensitize the knock sensor or roll the fuck out. He said, desensitize the bitch. So I tune whatever. But in the ticket system, guys, ESS kits reign supreme, not because I'm bought and paid for. It's because that's just how it is. They all kick fucking ass. Now, if you have an ESS kit on a GT350, unless you got a 100mm pulley on it and a 10% or a 20%, I don't think a crank support is necessary. Aaron Moody says, just join and have a question. I want your opinion on the Edelbrock supercharger with a T56 build transfer daily street racing for a Gen 3. See, Aaron, that question is not good. This is why. Are you drag racing? Are you using pump gas or E85? What are your power goals? A pump gas Edelbrock supercharged T56 car is a 10-second car. In this chat, that's slow. So you're not racing anybody unless you're in Massachusetts in November, 40 degrees out, and there's Altimas and Altimas and Corollas on the road. Like, you need to be super specific. And what do I think? What's my opinion on it? What's my opinion on a pump gas 10-second car? It's not that impressive. So your questions have to be stupid specific. And you asked it again, Aaron Moody. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you don't understand that if I don't reply right away, you asking it again, all it's going to do is get you fucking tossed? One question, I answer it, move on with your life. Crazy, I've not heard of Paxton or Vortec in the last few years. ESS took over like Corona. Infamous S550 says, this channel and Valley 10-speed definitely made the ESS blow up for the Mustang game. And that's why I get the hate. I got the kit late to the game. And then I installed it personally and saw how easy it was to install. Then I said, anybody can install this if I can install and tune it in 8 hours the first time. I had never fucked with it. It was painfully easy. The hardest thing I had to do on an ESS kit was take the bumper off and install the intercooler. That's it. Take the front bumper cover off and install the intercooler. That's the hardest thing I had to do in the kit. Put the couplers in, tighten them real good because I ain't taking the bitches out again. Make sure that I plumb the blow-off valve properly. Put the bracket on. Put the belt on. Boom. I had a boosted car in 8 hours. It was crazy. Question. Just Z71. If I order an F-150 RCSP from the factory, would it be a good idea to get it with the Roush supercharger? Not just no, but fuck no. Now, I would love to work with Roush. Roush is an engineering firm. Roush is not a supercharger company. See, don't you dare compare Roush to Whipple. Okay? Whipple makes superchargers. Roush is an engineering firm. There is a wing of Roush that rebuilds P-51 Mustang engines. P-51 plane engines. There is a wing of Roush that tests engines on a rotating and articulating bench to test out how an oil pan should be designed for a car facing, you know, different situations at the track with G's. So don't say Roush is a supercharger company. Roush owns PAS, sort of. Roush uses performance assembly solutions to build superchargers. They also build GM crate engines there. They also build Ford performance motors there. Stop comparing Roush to Whipple. It's like comparing a hammer to a nail. It is not even close. I would love to work with Roush, but the problem is the only thing I could use is the supercharger or an illuminator, but that's PAS and Ford. That's a different thing. But they did such an incredibly bad job with their 2650. And I told you guys a story of how that got out. Roush had an opportunity to take this 2650 and design the ultimate case. I mean, it's Roush. And they went ahead and poked a hole in the front of the bitch and sucked it in through the front. Then they made a very narrow intercooler. And then IAT issues were everywhere. And then the air intake was only 105 millimeter or something like that. And I went, oh my effing God, what a blunder. I was there at SEMA, I think 2016 or 17. And they came out with this blower. And I could have sworn I heard this when they unveiled the blower. And I went, what the fuck did you guys do? Why? VMP and your previous designed blower was king poppy. Oh, we couldn't fit it in under the narrow hood. Oh my God. It seems like you guys rushed some piece of shit out. And it was just like subpar. And it's speed density only. So now, yes, can it be tuned? Sure. But the volume was so low that even Lund Racing said, we Gucci. We're not looking to tune this thing. We're not even going to support it. And understand this, gentlemen. That is the kiss of death. You want to talk about the kiss of death for a Ford product is when Lund Racing says, we don't think it's a winner. Think about that. Think about that power that that company holds. When they say, we are not currently supporting said product, that product goes to the shitter bien rápido. Four in the stink, one in the pink. So, I don't recommend Roush blowers, 2650s and up for anybody, anywhere, ever. You take that bitch and put it away. They must have a warehouse full of those fucking blowers. They're trash. And I love you guys. Guys, I think you do great work. And your boss is the best. He said, good for you. I'll never get to work with them after that. Anyone here had luck with the JPC Stage 1 Turbo 400 for Gen 1 in between Calumer Stage 3 and just want to buy one to be done? I don't want to plan to go over 800 wheel. Bro, Ben Calumer. Stick shit. Man shit. 800 wheel? You're going to consider a 400? Bro, stop it. Cole Daniel, Ben Calumer for the win. Alex, what VP fuel can I use instead of pump 85? Why does it have to be VP? Jermaine. Why can't it be ethanol 1R? Exactly. Thank you, Coyote. Thoughts on what power level on 3 twin 67? Here we go. I don't care. Look at this question. Thoughts on what power level on 3 twin 67 kit will max out at? I just installed the sleeve motor and glide. Oh my God, what a poverty build. Jim, this combo sounds like you just went to fucking wish.com and bought everything. On 3 kit, no offense to FIC with 2150s. What motor did you buy? What will it max out at? How about how many times will the primaries hit the fucking steering shaft? I would say 1,000. Nestor Berrios says, thanks, Alex. I'm thinking of a cheap insurance as the 350 are slightly different on the balancing of the crank. Would MFP crank support work with the SS blowers? They'd have to make a specific one for that setup. Alex, in your opinion, what made no-prep racing insanely popular over the last few years? Availability. In a very realistic way, instead of talking shit, availability. You don't need prep. Hell, I ran no prep here for many years. It's called Palm Beach International Raceway. Why do you think I put a bias ply tire on my red GT? Because it was cool? No. It's because my home track was Palm Beach International Raceway. And when they had events like Donk Nights, they would basically dump a 55-gallon drums of glue on the track, and those things would hook great. But on Test and Tune Nights, they basically put a Lake Mead in front of the fucking water box. They put so much water. There was a video of my Fairmont at the track. The amount of water. I got to find it. The amount of water at the fucking start line. Hush, money. Fairmont. At the starting line. What's hilarious? Yeah, look at it. Okay. look at the amount of water there is at the fucking track. Okay? Look at this. It's like boom, boom, boom. And I couldn't believe how much water they had at the starting line. I'm like, okay, so if they brought their theory about glue than they did to their water at the starting line. Look at the fucking puddle in the front. Like, it is ridiculous. So I was like, okay, this place is just not doing it. So they had so much water at the starting line that my burnouts had to be carried out way longer than I wanted them to. And it was just super stupid. But he just kept throwing water on the bitch. Let me see. I think when I was rolling up, he put water like on my fucking grill. Look at the amount of water. I had to keep rolling. And I'm like, okay, this track was a no prep track, basically. So what a shit show that place was. Rest in peace to one of the cooler tracks, and they just fucked it up. Like, the amount of water there was ridiculous. So I understand that no prep racing is popular because you can do it anywhere. Street, back half racing, any track, eighth mile, whatever. And then manufacturers started hopping on board. Oh, wait a minute. Guys are racing a track that has no grip? Shit. Let's make shocks that are that are devised in the pre-runner world. Make them extend to no end so that they can have grip. And forget about the aero. Forget about the fact that you might be going 160 miles an hour at the end of the quarter or eighth or in between, and your car takes fucking flight because you put a fireman's ladder in the back with 245s hanging off the bitch. Stupid. Alex, you could use a kayak. Them boys got slip and slide back there. When you got to drive around the block because your on three won't let you turn left. Nixon Tarpia was the one taking the video. I was like, how much water y'all motherfuckers gonna put down on that shit? I mean, I didn't speak like that because I am from the ghetto, but I'm not ghetto. Whatever. I prefer my track wet like most things, lakeside driveway. Can't even drive around the damn water box. No, they don't. It's like, fuck driving around the water box. The whole front is water. I think Tranks push it because it saves them money on prep. Exactly. Availability. Hey man, we're out of glue. What should we do? Why don't we do this? Why don't we tell people it's a no prep event? Mortimer, I'm not talking to you. Look, Mortimer, what? We're back. That's right. Get the grill going. Get the fucking concessions going. Get the absolute gonna shit your pants tenders on point. Get the flat diet Pepsi that's been in a warehouse for 6 months so the plastic has bled into the drink. And get the no prep boys out here with no fucking teeth, no belt on their fucking pants, and going, you guys are gangsters if you get down this track. Gangsters. Who you think you are? Gangster. Gangster and no prep. Is the most hilarious. Gangster and racing is the most hilarious. Have you seen these guys they call gangsters? Who you think you are? I've been with many people, connected people.
You ain't like me, motherfucker. You a punk. I've been with many people.
Connected people.
Who you been with? Chain snatching.
Jive ass.
Monaco motherfuckers.
Go snatch a purse.
Why don't you get lost? Go ahead, snatch a purse.
Oh. Carlitos way. Who the fuck? You ain't like me. You a punk. Go snatch a purse. Carlitos way. You got to watch Carlitos way. Travis says, Alex, is John going to swap 6R into the Black Bean with Motek? And I heard Midnight was testing something. He said it would change the game. Motek would make the most sense in the Black Bean. We have data with the... We have another Black GT. We call it the Money Pit because it's literally the test bed for Motek. That's right, pendejos. Lund Racing buys the vehicles and software that they're going to tune with because all of a sudden motherfuckers are tuning cars they never owned. How the fuck does that work? So they've done that vetting with the Motek stuff on a 6R car. And all you have to do really on Motek is go, bloop, 6R. DI delete, 6R, here you go. And it'll work. Getting there, I think it's going to be difficult. No prep, and we will charge extra. Sasso, man, you'd crash if you race with stock Pirellis on that track after driving through that water box. Get the $6 beer, saves money on prep and better profit. Exactly. The action is juice. The action is the juice, says turn those machines back on. Yee, gangsters. Bro, you need to poop just to eat a few of those tenders. Trevor, National Speed already has the video with those exact same mods. I shit my pants. Hey, we got Roush tenders at the concession stand. What do you mean, Roush tenders? Because you're going to see your pun. Good for you. That is my best memory of the tuning game. I get flown to Roush. Okay. I'm going to tell you at what moment I was in my life when that happened. Because it just hits me. It does have a rate. Thank you. Thank you very much. Chicks dig me. Ray Dunn from, I don't know. What the fuck are they called? The place women go to get discounted dresses. Every coffee cup I got here is from a chick. Every coffee cup I got here. It's from a chick that got me. Stop it. Oh, if a chick that likes me watches this, she's like, hey, I'm not going to get you a cup. Fuck you. So anyway. The best story I have is that Roush story. This is why. Remember I told you I worked for Lund, then VMP, then Lund again? So I worked for Lund. The job went away. So I was at the lowest point of my life. All the way at the bottom. Terrible. And I get a call from Roush. A representative from Roush. A guy who now sells weed. What the fuck? Right? This dude sells weed now. Legally. It's crazy. Hey, man. We like your stuff. We think it's funny. And we want to use it for marketing. Said, yeah. What do you want to do, bro? I am literally jobless. I got no prospects, nothing going on, and Roush wants to get a hold of me. And I'm like, sure, let's go. I'm willing to fly you up and show you around and see what we can work out. I'm like, oh shit, okay, cool. Get up there, check out the Roush facility. And I quickly found out that there's nothing there. I think they basically wanted me to defend them on social media or post on social media. So this guy had a budget to work with, and the budget was spent on me flying up, staying 3 days, you know, hanging out. So he invited me to go to a NASCAR race, a Busch series it used to be at that point. Busch meaning the B tier, not the Cup series, the B tier. And Bubba Wallace was actually racing for Roush, if I'm not mistaken. He sucked back then too. So I'm sitting there and I see Jack Roush. So I'm at the track, I'm at the suite, and I meet Jack Roush's son. And I... I'm so ignorant. I go, how you doing, sir? He goes, and you know, the guy introduces me to Jack Roush's son. And then what do I say? Hey, what do you do here? Because I'm thinking this motherfucker is like head of R&D, or he's some Billy Badass, or whatever. So apparently that's like a touchy subject. Boy, don't do nothing there. They give him a position like head of marketing, social media, vice president of tire changing lug nuts. You know, the dumbest shit. So I was like, oh, so he tried to explain to me what he does. And I go, so I really don't know what you do here. Like, what? And I didn't say it in a facetious way. I said it, what do you do here? He was like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 world salad, blah, blah. I do the thing. I'm like, oh, so you don't do shit here. Cool. And then Jack Roush comes in and he has handlers. You know what I mean? He has people with him, like President Biden does. You know, they give him a pen. Remember Bob Dole? He had like an issue with his hand and he would clinch up. He had like some kind of issue with his hand. Like he'd always like walk around like this. There was something physically wrong with his hand, Bob Dole. So you know what they did? They said, put a pen on that bitch. Go look at Bob Dole. You never heard of Bob Dole? Just look at every picture of Bob Dole. That motherfucker has a pen in his fist all the time. Bro, they put a pen in his fist. Oh, shit. Oh, lordy, lord. They put a pen in his fist, bro. I'm sorry, Bob Dole. Rest in peace. But hey, put a pen in that fist, bro. What's up with his hand? Don't worry about it, bro. Just put a pen in that bitch. You know? So. So then, you know, Jack Rouse comes in and he is obviously, you know, physically different because he had a plane accident at Oshkosh Airport. The dude just ran. Stop flying, motherfuckers, okay? Stop flying. Unless you were trained by the armed forces and you have hours and hours and hours, and then you fly a plane that's commercially, unless it's a Boeing, maintained, stop fucking flying. You're not. If you were meant to fly, you'd have fucking wings, pendejo. So... Giovanni Sanchez, like, put that hand in a pocket. So he has handlers. So he comes in and he's walking slow. And I am not looking to meet him. I'm one of these guys that'd be like, bro, I'm out. I'm out. So, you know, Jack Rouse comes in. You know, he saunters in. And the guy goes, excuse me. Mr. Rouse, I want you to meet somebody. And I'm like, fuck. And he's like, This is Alex Flores. He's a tuner.
Good for you.
I was like,
I was like, you want a picture?
I was like, okay. So there's a picture of me somewhere with a... I gotta find it. Can anybody go on my YouTube or Facebook or whatever and find a picture of me with Jack Roush? It's somewhere. If you follow me on Facebook or whatever, find if you see if you can find a picture of me, because I can't find it because the internet's super slow. But if you find it, email it to me. I did not.
Good for you.
So, okay. So fast forward. He goes to the stall where the NASCAR race is happening. You know how they have an elevated, I don't know what you call it, like a viewing area? Have you ever seen those things where the team engineer, the captain, or the crew chief is up on this elevated thing, right? And he's sitting there, you know, like, hey, Bubba, you better stop fucking around. Bubba, stop being a bitch. Two to go. Pit. So Jack Roush gets up there. And the guy that's with me goes, hey, Alex, you wanna go up there? And I was like, abso-fucking-lutely. Why do I want to go up there? Because I want to see what Jack is doing up there. So Jack goes up there and he's got a pad in front of him. And I'm like, okay, you know. Again, I love him. He was a great man. Awesome. But, you know, he's later stages in life. And I'm trying to see what he's writing on the pad. So he's got a pad in front of him. And he's got headphones. So he's listening to the radio communications. And I and he's like this. And I'm like, what's he writing? Like, was he what's he writing on the pad? So I was like, trying to get a look, but I never got a look as to what he was writing. But what an experience. And I've always remembered that time as like surreal, right? Think about it. I'm a dumb fucking kid from Holyoke, Massachusetts. I'm dumbass. And I make fun of motherfuckers on the internet. And I get a job offer to work at Lund Racing. That goes away. And then in the middle of that, Roush calls me to go to Roush, watch a NASCAR race, meet Jack Roush. And then I'm just like, what the fuck is, worlds are colliding. And I'm like, this is not what I thought was going to happen when I met Jack Roush. A Gen 3 Mustang, do you recommend this? Art, you know, Art, can you like read the room? Can you read the room? Like we're jiving here. We're riffing. We're having a good time. And this motherfucker's like, tell me about your Gen 3. I wish I knew what he was writing on that pad, guys. I want to know what he doodled on that pad. Jack Roush signed my General Lightning engine bay for some reason.
You want me to sign it?
Sure. Alex, that's why it's called the Jackhammer. Bubba, that pull rope on the... Oh, stop it. So here we go. Savar Martin says, Gen 2 overall would be the way to go if you plan on trying to budget overall, build a decent weekend warrior. Gen 3 is mostly for guys looking to make big power for crushing souls, in my opinion. I would absolutely not build a Gen 3 to go drag racing. This is what the Gen 3 10R80 shines at. Roll racing with a centrifugal or a turbo. That's it. If you want a road race... Hey, Jared, send it to me. You sent it to me? Thank you. He said he found the photo. I have a picture of Jack, and I shaved because I was being, you know, I was chubby-er back then. Because I'm still chubby. But, you know, I was chubby-er back then. Actually, I downright looked good. I actually took my shirt off at the beach, and I was just like, boy, you're looking good, pendejo. Look at this. Does he have a pen? No, he doesn't have a pen in his hand. Shout out to you. Look, okay, I'm a handsome fella. Fuck all that. I'm a handsome fella. Look at me. Look at me. See, what a weekend. And I had the stupid... I actually look pretty good. I don't know. Shit, Alex might have to shave his beard again, bro. His boy's looking dapper. But yeah, look at... Man. Okay, I'm going to have to get out to the beach again because I'm looking... You know, I'm about this weight, but a little more muscular. Good for you, Jack. Good for you. What an absolute crazy experience that was to meet Jack Roush after, you know... A whirlwind of craziness, and nothing came of it. Absolutely nothing. Complete waste of time. Before you know it, Alex will have Jack Roush sound clips. He was just doing arthritis exercises. Alex, don't lie. We know you got that pig hanging above your bed. Let's see it. Can anyone frame this shit for me? Like, I'd love for you guys to frame the shit for me. That'd be hilarious as fuck. I gotta do it. Oh, the Jack Roush picture. Pitbull versus Ryan. Who you got? Oh, Ryan. This is why. That boy can walk around at 170, bro. And mash motherfuckers. Pitbull is 5'2". Pitbull beat the shit out of Rolly. But Rolly's 5'5". Ryan is like 5'9", 5'10", 5'11". And he's got a left hook that could probably knock out some super welterweights. 147, 152. So, if you ask me, Ryan or Rolly? Ryan or... Because Rolly's out the picture. Now, the one I want to see is Teofimo and Ryan. Oh, Teofimo and Ryan in New York? Or in Cinco de Mayo? Because this guy... I don't know what the fuck Teofimo is. Jack Roush just looks happy to be there. You need Meek Mill to get up. I mean...
Oh, wow.
Wow, pobre Meek, el culito. He got 8 in the stink. Do you know what I'm saying? What is the benefit of the motor plate when you can explain why people use that over motor mount, solid motor? Think about it. You have the engine tied to the body in the back and the front. Instead of having the engine tied to a K member by two smaller mounting points, which one do you think is going to transfer more to the car? A engine mounted on motor mounts with a bolt going through it and two little, and then, you know, or a fucking plate welded to the body, bolted to the motor, and the motor's doing all this to the whole motherfucker. Instead of, and you can mount it lower. You can actually mount the motor lower, and, you know, you can move it a little bit here and there, as opposed to dealing with the fixed motor mount location. The Boston hat, OG, exactly. Now work on your glutes, not just the calves. My ass is on point. You guys don't want to see, you don't want to see this ass in Dockers. Your bitches will be dumping you. The calves are on point. Eculing? Bro, stop it. Someone said handsome. Rest of it. Great pick, Alex. Jack Roush, more like Jimmy Cricket. Okay. If you frame that photo, you have to Photoshop a pen in his hand first. I don't know why that Diddy clip made me laugh every day, but you know why? It's because he's... Okay, so it's when I play for the Luns, they go, wait a minute. Who's the one saying F that ass N-word? I go, supposedly Meek. So if Meek is getting his cheeks clapped, that means he's turning around to Diddy and going, bleep that ass N-word. And then Diddy obliges. And then you hear the famous, oh shit.
Oh, wow. Oh, shit.
Wow. Any recommendations for roll racing a 10 R80? Start in S, drop desired gear, and stab it and pop it back to D. Gibran? Gibran? Baeza? Yeah. He's probably Mexican. Hey, I'm from Mexico. Okay, best way to roll race your Mustang. You get on the road, you get to your desired speed, and then you put it in whatever gear you want to start off at, and then you floor it. After you floor it, you hit the navigation and find your local dealership. Get in that dealership and trade it in for a fucking minivan. Alex, I was watching your last video on eRACH. DCT is also an accessible and twin turbo kit. Start at $25,000. At that point, you might as well get a GTR. What do you think name your GT500 packages start at, Mr. Prime? Mr. Prime, let's say you got a GT500. 2020 and up GT500. Comes with a blower and a DCT that's inaccessible. Got it. And then you want to get one of those cool stickers on the bottom that says blah, blah, blah packages from your favorite shop. And they quote you a 3.8 Whipple. They quote you a fuel system. They quote you bricks. They quote you everything on the fucking planet. You know, the wheels, the tires, meaning the whole package, right? So now you have a rear-wheel drive, 13 or 1,200 horse, stock motor, DCT inaccessible, GT500 that might run 920 once or twice, and then on a whim, if the stars align and planets align, runs an 890 once. Then when you're driving home, that 1,300, 1,200, 1,100 horsepower, name your package GT500 that you paid $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to get done to the car, labor and all shit, wheels down. You come up to a light and there is a bone stock E-Ray sitting there. And the E-Ray goes, boom! All-wheel drive, hybrid, NA. That same car now has a turbo kit, and it makes another 200 horsepower on top of that. Which car do you want to own? The one that when the stars align runs a 923, and on the street it is absolutely useless unless you're rolling 60 plus mile an hour? Or an E-Ray that natively tuned turbo hybrid all-wheel drive goes, stop it. I like the one where Carol Shelby pays the Mexican in Al Pastor tacos. Let's see them damn cheeks, Alex. That's some gross ass shit. I wish I could have my girlfriend. What did it say here? Oh my God. The chat just exploded. What the hell just happened? Someone said, I can't play the show in the garage at my apartment complex because of you playing the Diddy clip. Someone gave me a weird look. There's a new one of Meek at WrestleMania yelling at The Rock during the match. I wish I could have my girlfriend make the same noises Meek was. Could you imagine you can't make your girlfriend scream as much as Diddy can make Meek scream? By the way, I found the Diddy clip is to the pace of 190 beats a minute, if you were curious. I wonder if that car Brett beat at the reunion built his own motor. I'm going to say no, keep cutting in that motor. He builds his own shit. Who cares? I ain't never going to have him do any work for me ever again. Nope. And I will never recommend him. Anybody says, what do you think about homeboy? I go, nope. Based on my experiences. Oh, and people around me experiences. Go somewhere else. You're good. Alex, do you think genuinely Trump's going to get back in? No. I don't think. Okay, Alex, do you genuinely think that if Trump gets back in office, all the auto manufacturers will go back to unlock computers? No. Lame duck right off the rip, right? So immediately he gets in. 4 years. So all he's going to do is nuke the FBI, which is going to be in litigation for years. Nuke the education department, going to be in litigation for years. He ain't going to get shit done. So even if he gets back in, he ain't going to get shit done. The Republicans don't like him. Democrats don't like him. He ain't going to get shit done, even if he gets in there. Bandit 50 says, hey, Alex, I remember you were talking about second gear leave on 6R80. What power level do you recommend to do that at? Fully built 6R, 1,000 horsepower Gen 2, right there. But you got to have a rear gear ratio. You got to set up like a turbo 400. 4R200 hub makes the first gear about 220 or something. Second gear in a 6R80 is around there. So if you have a 331, 355, or 373 rear gear, and you leave in second, it's like a turbo 400 close ratio, gear ratio with overdrive. So I'm going to personally do second gear leave 355s or 373s in the silver car. Leave at, you know, trans brake, you know, second gear, blah, 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 do my thing, because the 410 first is useless. Ryan Freeman says, hello, ladies and gents, hit the like button. Thank you very much. Kind of wild that they've made less than 1,000 E-Rays. Unfortunately, they're unfortunately a flop. They came out this year, Terminator. They came out this year. And you're saying they're a flop? They came out this year. Alex, a few weeks you released a video to the Patreon before everywhere else. Do Patreon members now have preferential treatment over channel members? Just curious. No. On this channel, you get preferential treatment for giveaways, but new video releases are going to be sprinkled here and there. I'm not going to always release new videos on Patreon. I just did it to just say, hey, here's a perk. But the main perk of Patreon is access to me. That's just how it's going to be. If you like it, cool. If you don't like it, cool. Patreon is just more direct support. This channel is super chats. You get member videos. You got a bunch of member videos you can't get anywhere else. You have emojis next to your name. And you get prioritized for giveaways. Patreon, you have access to group chats. You have access to me directly. And once in a while, I'll sprinkle in Patreon-specific videos. The fact that he rips people off to have money for his own car just goes to show how messed up the industry is. Someone says, hello, Brian Luna. Oh, Brian Luna's here. Mexico Racing League. Well, that's Mexico. I don't know if it's Brian, but he says, hi, Alex. What's up, Mexico Racing League? Why do people have a green name? That's because they pay for memberships, sir. The next Gen 1 video is probably going to be next week. I didn't receive my 1320 junkie ported manifold in time. I got it Monday. So I'm going to try to pick it up tomorrow sometime. There's no fucking time, guys. We are so fucking busy. We are so fucking busy. Thank you so much, by the way, guys. But it's stressful. It's so stressful. And there's some stuff happening in the industry right now that I don't want to talk about. Boy, some shit's going to go down that some people ain't going to be happy. This is why I say this, guys. If you make a product that Lund Racing doesn't support, it is the kiss of death. You might as well count your days until that product becomes a dud. The E-Ray just came out and it's already tuned and boosted. I think it's a win versus the dork horse. I agree. Slow99 says, I'm just curious on how someone could go on a podcast that was talking shit on Alex and then come back in here like nothing happened. Yeah. I don't want to air dirty laundry. But I'm not happy about that. That podcast gave a forum, fuck the Lund Racing shit, on a personal level. On a personal level, I am highly disappointed that anyone that I like goes on that podcast. The podcast gave a forum to someone that talked to people at two different occasions, talked shit on me, and did personal attacks. Not industry attacks. Fuck industry. Personal attacks that I debunked. So then when I see people that I like and I thought were tight with me go on that podcast and give a blue check mark to the guy talking shit about me, how do you think I'm going to feel? On an island. So, that I don't like airing dirty laundry, but anybody that I like that ends up on a place, I'll give you an example. My best friend in my 20s was named Wilfredo. I almost forgot his last name. Freddie Rivera. I think it was Freddie Rivera because it's been 20 years. Freddie was such a loyal friend. I've never met anybody like him. I've never met anybody like Freddie. Freddie would hear someone talking shit about me and he'd confront him. He'd confront him. He'd go, you got a fucking problem with Alex? And he's taking clothes off ready to fight motherfuckers. And I didn't even know about it. I heard about it from a third or fourth party. They would say, yo, we were chilling at the car meet. Someone says shit about you. Because at the time I had one of the faster cars in my town. And Freddie just got riled up and like was ready to fight this guy. And I go, are you serious? He goes, dead serious. The love I felt for that person to this day like warms my heart because I did the same for him. If anybody talks shit on Freddie, they got to deal with me. If anybody talks shit on me, they got to deal with Freddie. That's what I call loyalty. So if someone talks shit on me and you are somebody that I like and I'm friendly with, and then you share a forum with that person, and then in that same video, you say this person's okay. I go, I don't fuck with anybody in the industry. I'm on an island. Okay. Nope. No problem. We're good. On a personal level. So that's where I'm at with that. Anybody that goes on that podcast that gave a forum to someone talking shit on me to two people, two separate times. That's it. I'm good. No arguing, no drama. I'm good. Se acabó el party. Because that's how I fucking roll. I said to Junior the other day, we were talking. I said, he was hating on something, right? And I typed, ask him to show you. I said, John, tell me who to hate and I'll hate them. Junior, talking with Junior. I said, tell me who to hate and I'll hate them. Because I got you forever. Senior, who do you hate? This one. Fuck him forever. Because I'm your boy. That shit don't exist anymore. That is an old school way of thinking. The enemy of my friend is my enemy. So that's how it is. And I'm okay with it. So every motherfucker that goes on that podcast, I'm going to go, nope, 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 nope. Flip the fucking clipboard. Nope, 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 nope. On a personal level. Business is business. I'm still going to do my thing. I'm going to work for Lund. I'm going to do my job. But on a personal front, I don't fuck with nobody. MC brings the show to a halt and says, Alex, I have a Gen 2. I'm using an On3 turbo kit, On3 turbo system, HX35 turbos off my granddad's Rec 98 Cummins. Facebook Marketplace, ID 1050s, and VMS drag pack. Can I run 10s and a quarter with your tuning? I love you. Maybe.
Thanks for making me laugh, because I don't like when personal beef should not be aired out. But this was like personal / professional, and I was like, all right, cool. And I told the guy, the Go Hard Podcast, to his face, hey, I don't appreciate the shit you did. Because you were chiming in, like agreeing with the motherfuckers, not even knowing anything. And those guys were lying out their ass. But that's okay. It's all good. Bro, I'm in my 20s and these dudes my age be betraying each other. Be like, I'm on an island. I stick to myself. Fuck with my four eye. I don't fuck with anybody. Man, nothing against anybody. On a personal level, I'm good. Like everyone here in the chat spams FLK every time the name pops up. Right. So I have not met maybe, but I've never met any of you. But there are people on this chat that message me on a personal, you know, like they message me on Patreon or whatever. And they go to bat for me. They go to bat for me. If someone talks shit on me on Facebook, they're there. Fuck you. You're blah, blah, blah. You know, and anyone says anything negative about me, boom, they're talking that shit. And then pointing out hypocrisies. And I'm like, that is old soul behavior. And I understand it doesn't happen anymore. I understand you got to make friends in the industry. I understand you can't be binary. You have to be somewhere in between. I understand that. That doesn't mean I got to accept it. I simply just go, cool, I'm going to do my job. But on a personal level, I don't fuck with anybody. Major Toss says, nowadays, people are only loyal to whoever directly benefits them at that time. Alex got free tunes for me today. He my boy. Someone else tomorrow. Right. First time dealing with Lund tuning on my Gen 2 swap. Packs and Turbo 400. Pretty damn efficient. Dealing with John Nardo. Native Shift says, damn, this is better than the Drake Kendrick beef. I don't got no beef. I just... Let's say somebody talks shit on you. And then you see one of your boys not move a certain way, you would be disappointed. You go, damn, I thought we were better than that. But it just made me recalibrate my relationships with people. And I said, okay, I'm good. It's all good. No beef. I'm good. Alex, what kind of golf cart do you need to live in the villages? I don't know, but if you start putting loofah colors in the back, remember, in the villages, you got to have loofah colors in the back to if you swing, if you're new, if you like black dick, if you like brown dick, you like white dick. It's wild. And it's supposedly like the highest like concentration of like sexually transmitted diseases. Old motherfuckers. Old Faithful. I miss Freddie, bro. Freddie, I think, punched a guy at a meet for saying something about me. And I didn't know about it. And he had to telegraph it. He just punched him. Because we were brothers. I've known him since I was in sixth grade. So how would the 1080 handle 650 horsepower? No problem. Again, up to about 800, you don't need much. You know, just tuning. After that, it needs clutches, right? After clutches, and you want to make 11, 1200 and race it consistently, turbo 400 time. Get it out of your life. Second time I don't fuck with you, sound clip should be in there. I'm not trying to rub it in people's faces. I'm just going to not fuck with them. That's all. And by fucking with them means I'll talk and be friendly. But like that feeling that you get of reassurance that someone's got you is only shared by one person on this planet. And right now it's Jake Long from Power by the Hour. The Lund's got my back. I get it. You know, they're my people. But Jake would move heaven and earth to make sure I was okay. Jake checks on me 5 times a week on his drive home. What's up, bro? How you doing? Good. Tell me what happened at work today. Da 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 da. This and that. Da da da. Hey, I got a new dog. Da da. You know, like friends. Mofo, just be all about themselves. They're not gonna have your back when you need it. So vaya con Dios. Nobody has my back, and that's how I gotta live my life. I gotta live my life like nobody has my back. That's how I have to live it, because the more I live that way, the less I'm disappointed. And that's okay. I'm amped up right now. Tell us who to knuckle up and who it's on. The Talking Muffin is first on the list. No. I would never like put out a hit list. But obviously that podcast, anybody that goes on that shit based on what happened with one of their guests personally attacking me. Not even knowing who the fuck I am. Just going off on dumb shit, talking out of his asshole. And you go, yeah, I want to go on there too and say some shit. Okay, cool. Six already safe on 700 horsepower. Yeah, we've tuned a couple of 8-second stock 680s. That's not to say it's going to happen often. I'm saying stock like nothing done to them. I think Junior early on tuned 2 or 3 of them. I think Dakota and Brandon. But then by the time I started getting to the fray, people were already throwing clutches and forward shafts and intermediate shafts in them and billet planetary. So I was just late to the game. If you would accept my friend request. Okay, so if you think I'm friend requesting or accepting friend requests on Facebook, it's not going to happen. I love you. I am actually defriending people. Anyone that does the at everyone or at followers gets an immediate unfriend and block. Fuck you. I don't care about your granddad's fucking bulldozer. I don't care about your gender reveal. At followers, check out. I'm going to have a baby. Look at this burnout. Unfollow, unfriend, block. Fuck out of my life. The Amory has your back, man. Honestly, Edwin Martinez. He was one of the faster stock, bone stock transmission stuff. He was at the entry level of it. Edwin Martinez is like one of the OGs of 6R80. And you guys probably don't even know that. That's why I met him in person. What a guy. What a guy. Just one of those guys. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I haven't met many people in the coyote world that are solid. That are solid, solid. Edwin seems to be fucking solid. And his whole camp seems to be pretty solid. So I like them very much. Mike Evox says, 10R80 E85 street, 60 to 150 highway roll car. Which setup would be better? Money isn't an issue. Money isn't an issue? Twin turbo, Lund Racing anti-lag and an AMS 2000. Yep. Yep, Mike Evok. Money isn't an issue. And for whatever reason, you want to keep a 10R80 in it? Sure. Get a built trans, twin turbo, AMS 2000, anti-lag. Money is no object. That's what you do. What kind of dozer? What's the one, the D380? Was it the D380? D380 bulldozer. Is it a D380? Oh, no. Killdozer, bulldozer type. Killdozer, bulldozer model. Here we go. Beautiful. It was a D355A. Martin Heemeyer's bulldozer is a D355A. So D355A bulldozer. This is going to be the most valuable bulldozer of all time because it stands for something. Images. Oh yeah, this motherfucker. Could you imagine? You just come across one and you're like, I just want it just to have it in the yard. I saw that Whistling Diesel got one, but I just want it just to have it in the yard as a symbol of freedom. That's like a $300,000 symbol of freedom. Ah, give me that, bro. Martin Heemeyer brings a tear to my eye. I know it sounds gay, but like, When you value, boy, when you value people that stand for something, you know how people say, I stand on this, I stand on that. And that motherfucker stands on shit. Like, don't tell me you stand on something. And then knowing that Heemeyer's like, I'm gonna take a year to weld this bitch. Put peepholes through the bitch. It was crazy. But everyone here understands him. Wibble Instructions has intercooler relay running off of the fan relay as the trigger, so intercooler only pumps when the fan is on, is what I get from that. Is that right? I don't know. I've seen people run 2 AMS twin turbo cars. It's actually worth the money, in your opinion, or no? Why are they using the second one? Why would they use the second one? You would think one is all you need because we have one, and it has wheelie control, boost control, and injector control, depending on the output. And, you know, pulse width mod. A pulse width modulation, but yeah, technically we were able to control the injectors with it. I know Edwin is an OG because Senior always greets him when he's here. Yeah, like Senior was the one literally saying, hey, Edwin, put this here, because there weren't instructions for the early fluid kits. There were no instructions for the early fluid twin turbo kits. So that was interesting. That, yeah, he was like, we need this oil line, this feed. So Edwin was like one of the first two or three that had fluid twin turbo kits. Remember, guys, there was a deposit. Oh, I'm going to skip that whole subject about deposits. Because it's just going down a really, really rocky road if I start talking about deposits. What? Wow. Drop a little trash if they live streams. We know where the proof is. Them pockets are good. Way you get your point across, if you know what I mean. Okay. Look, I have no industry friends. I thought I had a couple. I have none. That's okay. It sucks. I'm not going to lie. It sucks. Because ain't nobody. Number four fluid. Do you still have the plaque? Edwin Martinez? If you still have the plaque, that'd be cool. Edwin Martinez, if you still have the plaque, send me a picture of it. Did I miss the Diddy clip? Yes, you did. That motherfucker stood on the rubble of the city that crossed him. I was going to go Turbo 400, but a lot of people saying it sucks to drive for a streetcar. You're right. I believe you said you didn't like driving on the street on GT500 also. You're right. I would never consistently street drive a 400. It gets hot. You need a badass cooler. You need a diode or a lockup clutch situation. And it's just not fun. oh, slow 99. I love you. I know too much, so I need to just shut the fuck up sometimes, because there's no upside to rehashing old shit, because all it does is brings up bad feelings. Not for me, because I was shrapnel. You know, when you have an intended target and then another target gets hit. I was collateral damage, not shrapnel. Collateral damage. If you intended to drop a bomb here, but then motherfuckers over here got fucked up, inadvertently, I was the motherfuckers over here. And right then and there was a very hard lesson into how the industry works. Two arms possibly for V10 twin turbo as two ECUs are needed also? No idea. Who made Cameron Fisher's Turbo 400? The car that was in the Roll Racing class. I don't know. He probably bought a Reed case, Billy Badass, RPM, M&M, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $15,000 deal. Cute says, I'm stuck between getting a T56 or Calamar Stage 3, 3, 4, shift fork, said bye-bye last night. I would just get a Calamar transmission. Why? Reuse your shifter. Reuse your drive shaft. Reuse your cross member. Reuse your clutch. Depends on the type of trans you want to get. Alex, would you purchase a 14 GT350? No. That doesn't even exist officially. Hasta la familia le traiciona y se puede confiar en nadie. En mi opinión, estoy mejor solo. Carlos Arroyo, my family did that. I have family members that would throw you under the bus in a heartbeat. When I'm saying I'm dolo, by myself. Nobody got my back. I trust nobody. I don't give anyone 100% confidence in my fucking life unless it's Jake Long from Power by the Hour. Sorry for others that thought I was like all in. I love you. If we're in my life and I think and I trust you, cool. But like, trust that motherfucker is going to have my back no matter what. It's going to be Jake Long. Alex, you and I have had our differences, says Airflow Concepts. No hard feelings here. I still tune in and enjoy the content. I appreciate the badass calibration on my GT as well as Lund for the win. I don't know who you are. No offense, Airflow Concepts. Maybe you remember something I don't, but when I fly off the handle, don't take it personal. It's a show. Ed Diaz, thank you so much. Ed Diaz is consistent. Ed Diaz talks that shit, backs me up on Facebook. I love him. Why would anyone want a 14350? You don't choose your family. You choose your friends. Dolo, hashtag Dolo. Can we get a shirt saying Dolo? Like a little YDBT logo? Is it Dolo? I know, it's stupid, right? But if you're a fan of the show and if you're a follower and you subscribe to my thought process and you like the shit I gotta put out there, you gotta understand the way I view the world. The way I view the world is fuck everybody. Every single motherfucker. I'm black-pilled. Like, I don't trust anybody. I don't fuck with anybody. Fuck everybody. That's why I think racing's fucking dumb. I'm not looking to race or competitively race. I have no peers in this game. I don't feel I have peers in this game. Okay? I don't dick ride, nut ride, or follow everything that happens in this game. I do it because it's my job. That's it. But when I'm done, I go work on my own shit, work out, build cars my way, and I'm a happy cat. And I do my best to promote everything I think is right in this world. I promote Lund Racing like nobody's business because they do awesome work, and I work for them, and they're a great company, and I think everybody should be Lund tuned. Before my dad died, a couple of years back, he told me that when you're on your deathbed, you can count on your true friends in one hand. Really shit I ever heard. Cold Anderson says, Eminem 400 cost my uncle $20,000. It took 10 weeks to get. YOLO Dolo. Dolo gang, I like that a lot. Buy the shirt. Hey, all we need to have is my face. YOLO Dolo. Get it on DNA High Performance or something. And then, you know, if you guys want to give me a cut, give me a cut. If not, keep the fucking money. Again, I'm not looking to make money on merch. I just want to give you guys stuff to buy to represent the show. That's it. Michael Rodriguez says, hey, Alex, in your opinion, what is the best kit for the twin turbo, for the 350, best turbo kit? Honestly, I love Aldo's stuff, but I don't know if he makes a GT350 specific kit, but Hellion does. Now, if Aldo says, yeah, my Gen 2 kit directly bolts onto a 350, then you get that. Because in my opinion, he makes the best kit overall, twin turbo kit. We're talking kit. There's custom turbo stuff. There's custom this and that. But when we're talking kit, something you buy and you can bolt on in your garage, Aldo, in my opinion, is at the top of the game. Maybe he doesn't pump out the volume Hellion does, but I think in terms of what you can expect out of the kit, really tough to beat Aldo's stuff. That's you, mofo. Don't get Facebook or Crest. Exactly. I'd buy the YOLO Dolo shirt. Late to the show. What's Dolo? Dolo's mean by yourself. So let me look up the Urban Dictionary of Dolo. Dolo Urban Dictionary. To do something by yourself or solo, but it's so much that you replace the S with a D. I don't fuck with N words. That's why I be solo. Both Dolo, solo, Dolo can mean doing something alone. In some cases, they imply enjoyment or confidence in solitude. You're sufficiently self-assured that you don't have to rely on others to do something out in the world. Dolo. So YOLO Dolo could be a shirt. Because I'm done. So we've built this little community. And when I promote something, I ask for no money. I ask for nothing in reciprocity. I don't ask for something in return. I do it because I think you're good. DNA High Performance. Hey, they want to make me some Amory cups? Cool. He asked me, shout out to you, DNA High Performance. He said, Alex, my wife makes these tumblers. I want to make them with your Amory logo. Do I have your permission? Yes. A bunch of them sell. How much you want? I said, nothing. Are you serious? Serious. Your wife has something to do. The Amory has something to buy. I'm happy. No reciprocity needed. I'm happy to help you sell products because you support my show. So for years, I supported what I thought were good people. Now, have I gone on tirades and gone against them? No, I have not gone on tirades against them. You just slowly hear me not mention them anymore. Mentioned them and highlighted them and promoted people. I started hearing some shit like, fuck Alex and this and that. And I'm like, oh, all right. Wash my hands of that situation. Not going to go on a tirade. It's all good. So you don't hear me promoting certain people. You don't hear me talking about certain people. I'm just, that's it. So young to be so jaded. Unfortunately, when you've been through the shit I've been through in the short amount of time I've been through it, because I don't play the go along, get along game. Do you know what I'm saying? Alex, when you pause the comments on your screen and talk for a few minutes, does it go to the next comment? Exactly, it does. Ignorance is bliss. Granny Macchiato says, I'm late. Alex, can we get the DNA High Performance making the YDBT merch? I'm sure there's a bunch of us that will just buy it. They're trying to. Aldo had made one, didn't he? Oh, for the GT350? I'm not 100%. Because I thought that 350 was, I don't know if it was custom. Alex has helped a lot of people. No, don't say that, JD Swag, because then people are going to look back and imagine this show springboarded your business and you don't even recognize that it springboarded your business. Crazy stuff. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I'm out of here. So thank you so much for hanging out with me. We talked about not ignoring your trends that you've gone through. So if there's a trend of issues happening, don't ignore them. Really, really base yourself on your experience and don't hack your way around problems when you know that typically certain setups don't have problems. We didn't talk about the Model 3 because it wasn't that important. We talked about 10R80. 10R80 after 1,000 wheel, in my opinion, you either go turbo 400 or you pay $6,000 every time that thing smokes. And then we talked about second gear lead. We talked about tuning. We talked about fluid stuff. Then we talked about Alex being dolo because people keep going on a podcast that literally gave somebody a platform to talk shit on me on a personal level. And I was disappointed that people were giving blue check marks to the dude. So that is that. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Thank you very much. I'll be back on Thursday. We'll see what happens between then and now and then. I'm going to try to get the 1320 ported manifold tomorrow, but no videos are going to come out standalone until probably the weekend. That's the only time I have. Guys, I work all the fucking time. The last thing I'm going to do is stop working and then video for 5 hours and then it's 10 at night. I want to go to the gym. I want to grab a meal. I want to live a life. So Saturday or Friday night, I'm going to install the 18 manifold. Go out there, do some testing, then get E85, do some testing, try to get you one long video on that, or two, and then we can just keep chugging along with the 13 stuff. Gonna get the Fairmont picked up late this week. Hopefully Ben Callimer gets me word on the Corvette soon so I can get you content on that. Try to go 9 seconds of that, so we'll get everything. I'm trying to get everything lined up to get you guys content. Have a good rest of your night. I will see you guys on Thursday for YDBT Daily. See you later. Bye.